Good afternoon. It's just noon, and we want to get started. Welcome to the third annual Ignite session at the Educational Travel Conference. My name is Jim Friedlander, and I'm the president of Academic Arrangements Abroad. And for those of you who have never seen an Ignite session before, we have a panel of 13 destinations, operators, and suppliers who are going to spend 2 minutes each telling you about an idea or a destination. They each have 8 images, and those 8 images are each up for 15 seconds. So once this starts, there's no stopping. They cannot talk too long. And what you'll see is that the time goes really quick, and it's a lot of fun. I would ask you to hold any applause until the end, and I'd like to introduce our first speaker.
Hello, all. My name is Yasin. I am from Indus Discoveries. I'm going to talk about India's intangible cultural heritage. Tourist India, typically based on its architectural wonders, monuments, ruins, and museums waiting to be explored. But our culture is not just in the built environment. It is also in our dance, our folk songs, poetry, storytelling, and food. UNESCO has identified 11 aspects of Indian culture which are unique and globally important. The first of these is yoga, an ancient typical mental and spiritual discipline which has spread around the world. Buddhist chanting in the Himalayas, Buddhist communities, monks, and lay people still chant their sacred texts, often to the accompaniment of bells, cymbals, and drums. Listening to these chants is an absolute wonderful experience, and being a part of it. Rajasthani folk dances, numerous tribal groups had herd their flocks through the Thar desert, singing their folk songs as they walk. You can hear them on a day-to-day camel truck from Jaisalmer, and small groups will often be moving around in the desert. Performance of Ramayana is in India's most celebrated epic poem, the story of the banishment of Rama, the kidnap of his wife Sita by the demon king, and the ensuing battle to get her back. Sanskrit theater, more stylized in the Sanskrit theater of Kerala, a 2,000-year-old theatrical tradition, learning the art from takes 10, 15 years, and each performance can last up to 40 days. Raman Festival, India is the land of festivals. Each religious and ethical group have their own way of celebrating their festivals. At Raman Festival in Uttarakhand, tourists can expect to see masked performances, music, historical reconstructions. India's culture is something living, breathing, continually evolving, the most rewarding tour progress, and those which enable tourists to experience and participate in India's intangible cultural heritage. Thank you for listening.
I'm Lauren, and from Visit Wales, and I'm going to tell you about legendary wells. 2017 is the year of legends in Wales. So I invite you to step back into a time of castles, dragons, and magic, and journey through Wales with one of our great legends, King Arthur. From the summit of Mount Snowdon, you can see the home of the mythical Lady of the Lake, who rose up out of these waters to give Arthur his sword, Excalibur. Stone tables, like this one that you will see next, could only be made by giants. But so great was Arthur's strength that he laid the capstone himself, and it was Merlin the magician who helped him transport the stones from here to build Stonehenge. Arthur first met Merlin along the Pembrokeshire coast, not far from where the legendary magician was born, in a town called Carmarthen, which in Welsh means Merlin's fort. One night, amidst a raging storm, King Arthur's niece gave birth. And when the baby boy arrived, an unearthly light illuminated the scene. He went on to perform many miracles in his life, and he became Saint David, patron saint of Wales, for whom this cathedral is named. Now, looking at Caerleon, which is Britain's best-preserved Roman amphitheater, you can imagine King Arthur meeting here with his knights to plot their battles. From this scene, they took on the name, the Knights of the Round Table. And we finish our tour at one of the most dramatic locations in all of Wales, Caerdydd Cenin Castle. Legend says that King Arthur lies sleeping here, awaiting the call to fight for his country in a time of need. But you don't need a call to come to Wales and discover our great legends for yourself.
I am Kirsten with Iceland Travel, and I invite you to discover new experiences in Iceland. We start with the Westfjords, with steep bird cliffs, Arctic foxes roaming around, a lot of mysticism, small fishing villages, and a lot of unique experience to immerse yourself in the culture. And also to sample the great Icelandic food, which is really outstanding. And also, as I mentioned, the local mysticism, which is featured at the Witchcraft Museum in Bjarnafjörður. So you can see it's really like an off-the-beaten-path track and something new to see. And then we move on up to the north, since this is the northwest corner. Up in the north, Akureyri, the capital of the north, take an art walk, meet local artists, sample the food, maybe visit a local brewery, go on some whale watching, and then the nearby Lake Myvatten with geothermal baths, rich bird life, and very unique lava formations, mud pools. And then we move on to the northeast, to Dettifoss waterfall in the Vatnajökull National Park, the most powerful in all of Europe. And then to the East Fjord, recently featured in Vogue magazine, have dinner with a local family, and hear about how people lived 100 years ago. It's an area rich in folklore and art traditions. And also you may spot the reindeer, which is a symbol of the region. So I invite you to experience new and unique treasures of Iceland. Thank you very much.
I'm Yanina Ramirez. I'm representing UK Countryside Tours, but I'm actually an Oxford academic and BBC broadcaster. I'm here because... Oh, this is not me. This is India. I'm talking about India. Right.
Oman.
Oman. Do you want to swap?
I can swap.
He's out of time now. Okay. I'll be back.
All right. I'm an Oxford academic as well, as it happens. All right. I don't think I'm going to sell that one. Jim, thank you for this opportunity to showcase Oman, which is the essence of Arabia, a well-connected, safe destination with excellent infrastructure, often combined with our friends in Dubai, which my dear friend Renata will tell you about in a moment. What I wanted to briefly touch on was the activities that we offer in Oman. We've got our traditional souks and palaces and forts and things like that. But we've developed, as a destination, a range of activities, exciting cattle markets, exploring 500-year-old forts, picnicking in tranquil wadis, looking at recently discovered rock art in the canyons, scuba diving, boat trips to look for dolphins. We have 23 species of whales and dolphins that migrate off the coast of Oman, looking for turtles on the famous Green Turtle Sanctuary on the coast, exploring the ruins at Sumharram, long thought to be the Queen of Sheba's palace, going out in traditional Arab dhows, because legend has it this is the land that Sinbad actually sailed from, exploring the frankincense groves from where frankincense was carried across the desert in great camel caravans at the turn of the last century, and perhaps most evocative of all, camping in the legendary Empty Quarter Desert, where you go out with the Bedouin people and their camels crossing the desert as they have done for millennia. So lots of exciting new opportunities in Oman, fabulous hotels now, the Ritz-Carlton, the Al Leela, the Shangri-La, the Chedi. So great infrastructure, great connectivity to Dubai, and the opportunity to perhaps explore some of these exciting options that we have more recently developed. So welcome to Oman and the essence of Arabia. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to try again. Is it me this time? I have no idea. Yay! Brilliant. So I don't need to introduce myself. I've saved a few seconds. The reason I'm here is everything in my life, all the work I do, comes from a deep passion for the history of my environment, for the British Isles, for England. I live in Oxfordshire, right in the heart of the country. And everybody, I think, can't escape history, heritage, art, and culture in the UK. It's a small place. Wherever you go, you will feel the passage of time underneath your feet. The old cobbles tell stories. So this is Whitby Abbey up in Yorkshire in the north, the site of all this religious monastic history, and these eerie Gothic ruins were the location where Dracula was born and came to life. So it's an evocative Gothic landscape on the edge of the North Sea. And here we have Chatsworth House. I know that Downton Abbey is incredibly popular, isn't it? And here, this is the home of the Duke and Duchess of Devonshire. They have an unrivaled collection, not just of artworks, but of scientific developments. And Manchester, the home of technology, the birthplace of computing. You can see Baby, the first large-scale computer in the Museum of Science and Technology, learn about the industry that fueled this city. Berkeley Castle, the site where King Edward II was held captive and died a mysterious death, but a millennium of history playing out in this one location, in the bricks and fabric of this castle. Oxford, somewhere close to my heart, a place where everybody from Darwin Dunn, all the great names have studied here, have learnt their trade and developed their ideas in these dreaming spires. And there we have Brighton Pavilion down on the other coast, on the south coast, the home of the Prince Regent, a place of decadence and partying and play. And it still is a place to go and party and play in Brighton on the coast. You can also learn about the wonderful seafaring adventures. And then the gardens, the green and pleasant land of England. These are formal gardens at the Royal Palace of Hampton Court. But you can get out into the countryside and see the woodlands, the wonderful rich variety of natural heritage we have in England as well. This last one, Canterbury Cathedral. We have architecture that sits so beautifully in its landscape. And over in Kent, the fruit basket of England, you can see this staggering Gothic architecture, these places that people from the Chaucerian pilgrims have travelled to these places. Feet have trod these paths. And in England, we can really feel that passage of time. Thank you so much for listening to me.
Hi, everybody. I'm Enrica, and I represent Target Travel Italy. Italy, country of wonders yet to be explored, charged with shimmering excitement and surprising perspectives. You love the land where the waters and stone are alive, and the magic of your journey unfolds to your own peace. Today, I want to present a stunningly different Italy, where emotions and images wave together the best of our country. But is it possible to visit and experience Italy in a different way? Yes, sure it is. How can we do that? Meet the local people, stay with them and experience the daily life. Learn from them about Italian history and culture. Learn from the local artisans the richness of their work and the power of transmitting from generation to generation their art. When objects speak of the art, each story is unique. taste the real flavor of Italy, to eat or to really taste. Artisanal products are here to be enjoyed every day, directly from the people who are dedicated to our gastronomic traditions. Bring children with you. Help them to get acquainted to another culture. An experiential journey is much more educational than any others. Meet Norris, a woman who ran a Michelin restaurant in the past. She sold the restaurant to become a wild herbs picker. Discover the intense faith and devotion of people in small towns, a long way from the grand basilicas and cathedrals. Pearls of spirituality are found in the silence of lives simply lived. Meet a man in Tuscany who was an unhappy lawyer in Milan, and now he's a very happy winemaker in Tuscany. Hear about his story and how he decided to change his life, and how he found out that Mozart music defends vineyards from parasites and insects. That's stunning Italy.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth from Peru. So 2017 has been declared the year of the International Year for Sustainable Tourism for Development. So my boss, who's a graduate in sustainable tourism, asked me, Elizabeth, what are you planning to, you know, how are you going to showcase all the initiatives that we have in Peru to the 60 million of Americans that are eager, you know, to travel in this way? So I said, the best way that I can do it is I have to join those interested in working sustainable tourism. So I'm getting hold of all the tour operators, the hoteliers, all that are interested in, you know, working with me. And we're going to do a website, and we're going to promote this website everywhere, and including the ETC website. So who are my first two partners? Mountain Lodges of Peru. This is a company that provides adventure travel experiences, and they give 20% of all their proceedings to help the communities that they work with. They, you know, try to make the people, you know, entrepreneur in honey, in textiles, in coffee. They go for, you know, to help the children and many others. And so the donations, everything goes to the communities. So that's one of my partners. Aqua Expedition is the other partner that I have in the rainforest. They cruise in the Pacaya Semillero Reserve, which is in the Amazon rainforest, and they are committed to the lives, the communities, the flora and the fauna. One of the projects that I love is the Taricaya turtle, and how they work doing a beach in their, in, you know, the places where they know the Taricayas leave their eggs and their nests and their eggs, and they involve their guests into, you know, taking care that these new turtles are released when they are ready. So another project that they have is the manatee, and they are helping, you know, educating the communities on the value of the manatees, and they also help, they provide medical assistance to the 22 communities that they travel with. So if you want to learn a little bit more about all my, you know, my partners, please join me for a coffee. Yay,
very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Michael Gregorich, and I'm from And Beyond. And I am a firm believer that nothing inspires like travel. And in the constant search for new experiences and destinations that can excite and educate and forever impact our travelers, the countries of Uganda and Rwanda and the opportunity to trek the mountain gorillas is truly, in my mind, has to be at the very, very top of the list. While the numbers vary, there are roughly 800 mountain gorillas left in the face of this earth, with a vast majority of them living in the central Virunga Mountains in Central Africa. And you know, while their population there has struggled over the last couple of years due to war and hunting and habitat destruction and disease, and had it not been for a few key conservationists and the government's understanding of the positive impact of tourism, we could have lost these amazing creatures forever. Now, the experience of gorilla trekking is sincerely unlike any other. Led by an experienced guide and a group of armed expert trackers, Guests are led on an adventure of a lifetime, trekking through the stunning landscape of the Virunga Mountains to their assigned gorilla family. And once they get to that gorilla family and have the chance to watch them interact with each other in such a very close proximity in the stunning setting of their natural habitat, this truly is one of the most awe-inspiring animal-human interactions found on the face of this earth. Now, there's a lot of other great experiences that guests can enjoy as well, great educational experiences, such as in 1968 when Diane Fossey founded the Karasoki Research Center in Rwanda. Guests not only get access to the center, but they get access to the researchers themselves and can learn everything from photographic tips to learning more about their tireless efforts towards conservation and the protection of these amazing creatures. The region also allows guests to interact with what is truly probably one of the most unique tribes of people left on the face of this earth, the Batwa Pygmies. You can enjoy an incredible day in the rainforest with the Batwa, see how they hunt and how they lived, see their traditional medicinal plants, hear their ancient legends and their traditional songs, and watch some incredibly energetic and entertaining dances as well. So while certainly the experiences of Central Africa can only be exceeded by the beauty of the landscape itself, there is no doubt that this landscape and these experiences will leave a lasting impression upon your clients unlike any other destination in the world. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vincenzo from Italy's Cape. Affinity Travel drives our work. Our aim is to provide our groups with the best possible experiences while focusing on a topic that is the common interest of our guests. The faculty leader adds value to the trip and generates the basis of our success. However, sometimes our itineraries lack flexibility. We are so focused on providing each and every trip with in-depth content that we do not allow time for individual enrichment, other than participating in the tour. It is said that we ourselves are the destination of each journey. Sometimes we forget that our goal is to enrich each of our guests, considering her or his essence and desires. The tour may feature dramatic sites to visit, but maybe none of them is appropriate to the mood of that specific person. Fixed logistics do not always meet our guests and their companions' requirements. When planning our trips, so we should maybe allow 2 or 3 more half days with a menu of different options that can address the specific passions of each individual, such as meeting an expert on ancient prints, learning how an enologist creates his own blend, or watching how a dog is trained to search white truffles. These different involvements can then be shared when the group joins again, adding more value to the tour. We must strive to create profound moments that become embedded in the traveler's soul and generate unforgettable memories. I hope this idea and the images of Italy will inspire you to try something new. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, it's that midway point when we must all take a deep breath and say, good afternoon, everyone. All right, 2 years ago in Boston, I spoke to you about a line, an imaginary line, one that's not on the earth. It's just in your minds. And today I'm here in the quest of an alphabet, the 9th alphabet, that is somewhere between Hungary and Japan. So let me take you on this special journey. Would you find I in the welcoming smiles of the millions of humanity who would then reach out to you with open arms and their hearts amidst a multitude of needs and envelop you in their minds? Or would you find I in the welcoming dances of celebration of the 72 or more ethnic tribes that are there in this land, and they create a magical mosaic that is a bridge between the southeast of Asia and the Silk Road? Or will you find that as you seek your inner being, the yogi in you practicing Surya Namaskar, which is common knowledge now, on the banks of the Ganges, and take back a sense of bliss and wisdom. Or could this come to you when you indulge in marveling at, touching, feeling what is real, and bringing back with you a piece of handicraft? I've got a few samples, none of which is really virtual, or none of it is really augmented reality. Or would that change? And would it be the stones and bricks that have been bequeathed by the multitude of visitors who came and made India their land? Happy Valentine's Day. And finally, or is it the wild that we must conserve for our future generations, to whom we must bequeath the beauty of nature, whose mysteries are yet to unfurl? Come, discover the I in you. It is there. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Steve Mandel. I'm from Ireland. And I'm going to talk to you about a town called Trim, a small medieval town with this incredible castle. But it was once the medieval capital of Ireland. But now it's a sleepy town of 8,000 people. And it's got more upstanding archaeological medieval remains than any other town in Ireland. But I'm not going to talk to you about that, because 80,000 people come and visit the castle a year, and virtually none of them stay in the town. I'm going to bring you to the other side of the town, to a six-acre field that's just bumps and hummocks, because underneath that field are the ruins of a 13th-century Dominican friary. And we're bringing students from all over the world, about 100 students a year, and they spend their summers learning how to excavate, learning how to be archaeologists. And you can come and you can visit that site and you can see the process of archaeology. But that's not what I'm here to talk to you about either. What I'm here to talk to you about is how the local community is becoming engaged in our heritage, and how that is what's amazing to see this pride of place, this sense of belonging, the sense of ownership of their communities. And there are numerous ways that we involve the community in the project, most of all with involving children. Every school child has been on the site. But the one example I wanted to give you of numerous is a project that we're doing called the Living Amongst the Monuments projects, where we've gone out to all the school kids in the town and we set them up as memory detectives, and we set them up with the skills to go out into the community, into the old people's homes, into their families, and to gather the stories of their town. And we generated a website of those stories, and that's engaging the people in the town with their heritage. And I think that's the way to generate sustainable projects. And the blue dots are actually the dots that students have come over, and they have learned stories and generated stories and generated content. Oh, that's me ahead of time telling me our time is over. This cow is just one of our stories. You'll have to visit the website to find out about it. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Carlos from Costa Rica. This is a perfect day to do this presentation. I always tell people, please go to Costa Rica with the person you love the most. So, the hidden gems of Costa Rica. Last week, CNN published the list of those 20 places you have to visit during your lifetime. One of them is Nosara. Nosara is located in the northern province of Guanacaste, and we are combining this area with the cloud forest of Los Angeles, which is the closest cloud forest to the Central Valley area where the airport is located. So here we're visiting the mystical cloud forest, the colorful birds of the cloud forest, and also this area is very close to the Arenal volcano, so we have the chance to enjoy the hot springs in the Arenal volcano and do the adventure activities of this area. And then from Arenal we'll continue to Nosara. We'll stay in this beautiful, magical lodge, which is called La Garta. This is a brand new boutique hotel, only 26 rooms. It is located next to the Nosara Reserve. Here we have amazing views. This is what they sell, $1 million views. And then we can do all the activities they have in the surrounding areas. They have a private reserve, and we can enjoy the private Nosara Wildlife Refuge here. And then from this area, you can visit all these beautiful beaches in the surrounding, such as San Juanillo, Pelada, Guiones for surfing, and also you can go down to Samara. So beaches here are completely unspoiled, but you can also find a lot of famous people because they just want to get away to this beautiful area of Nosara. And also, to end this trip, we go to Ostional. It's just 6 kilometers away next to San Juanillo. We have Ostional to see the turtles nesting eggs or to see the little ones going back home. Thank you.
I'm Renata Graham, for those of you who don't know me. And you obviously know that I am very much associated with this part of the world. And I tell you why. I came many, many moons ago as a very young woman and started out in the Levant in Beirut, Lebanon, and worked myself for 25 years along the Arabian Peninsula till I ended in the UAE. What better place to be? East of Oman, east of Arabia. Look at these fantastic pictures. What makes it so special? In the political turmoil we are all living right now, there are just under 10 million people living in the UAE. I call it always the mini United Nations. There are 180 different nationalities who live in this fabulous place, peaceful from different walks of life, different religions. It can all happen, and the UAE has proven it. And all these different activities that you can do in the desert, they're not just these terrific buildings and skyscrapers and fancy hotels. There is a lot more to the UAE. We just recently opened in October the Dubai Parks, Legoland, Bollywood, you name it, you have it, it's all there. It's very exciting to take families now to the UAE because we have really the structure. And of course here, Abu Dhabi, rich city in the world, is going to open within the next 3 years 4 major museums. This is the famous Sheikh Zayed Mosque, which is really a piece of art. And you have, of course, all these different activities that are taking place. But for me, what is particularly so rewarding, that the Louvre is going to open, the Louvre Abu Dhabi, this year. And not only are they going to have fabulous artwork, but they have a young UAE national as their curator. And she is an artist by her own account already, and she will be the curator for the Abu Dhabi Louvre. And you just saw a little bit Jordan, the World Heritage Site, and I truly want to give Jordan the last slide because I think they really need our help. Thank you.
Thank you, Renata. Last but not least, let's talk about Flanders, Belgium. So what's new in Flanders in the next years to come? Well, first of all, let's talk about our Flanders Masters Project, kicking off officially in 18, and it will go for 3 years. So the Flemish Masters will focus on the artists that ruled the art world in Europe for 2.5 centuries, starting in 18 with Baroque Antwerp and Rubens. The Rubens house and all his artwork will be the focus in Antwerp and highlighting the city, how the Baroque city was back then and how the city is today. In 19, we're moving on to Bruegel, one of the forgotten Flemish masters, and he got rediscovered, and everybody now talks about Bruegel and his winter landscapes, his landscape paintings, and the focus will be on Brussels and Bruegel. And then in 2020, we move on to the famous Ghent altarpiece. You might have seen the movie The Monuments Man. George Clooney talks about the Ghent altarpiece. Well, there it is, life in front of you. Well, not life, but in a picture. And the restoration is still going on. 20 will be complete. But talking about all the Flemish masters, and not just in museums, not just in churches, but actually in castles as well, in public buildings. He has a wonderful castle close to Antwerp. Belgium has over 3,000 castles. 400 of those are accessible to the public. You can enjoy all those great Flemish masses in a great setting, in a great environment, in medieval Bruges. Take a canal boat ride and experience Bruges the way it was back then. It's really a historic city, well-preserved. Then we move on. Not only is Flanders in Belgium actually, quote-unquote, an old historic preserved destination, but we also combine it, the old and the new. Here you can actually see the port house in Antwerp that just got finished a few months ago, one of the last projects of Zaha Hadid. And last but not least, you can also enjoy it with fabulous food, chocolate, and Belgian beer. And Belgian beer, 1,600 different beers, is now a UNESCO World Heritage. I think we all have to enjoy our World Heritage. Cheers to that.
Great, thank you. Take my seat.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I would just like to thank this panelist. You know, it is not easy. If English is not your first language, it's very intimidating coming up and speaking in front of such a big group. Thank you for watching, and thank you all for your energy and willingness to share your ideas. So for the panelists, thank you. And I would just ask you to fill out your evaluations and then on to the next session. I hope you've enjoyed your lunch, and I hope you've enjoyed the Ignite session. Thanks a lot.